Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Garden Life. My name's Julie Perchinsky, and I'm here again with my favorite co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, Julie Perchinsky. It's nice to see you.
Good to see you as well. Yes. Missed you.
Oh, of course. Back from the homeland.
That's right. So today we have a recorded interview, and it's going to be all about Sandpoint's Farmers Market. So with only 4 market days remaining of this 37th year, the market will be ending with their biggest party, the Harvest Fest, on October 18th. Here to tell us what's in store for these remaining days and how this year's market fared, our market manager, Olivia Gonzalez. Welcome, Olivia.
Hi, Julie. Thanks so much for having us.
Of course. And President of the board, mm-hmm. Christina Bauer. Welcome to you, Christina.
Great to see you, ladies. Thanks for having us.
Now, you've both been on before, so we've learned a little bit about you, but we always need to start with introductions. So, Olivia, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be the manager at the Farmers Market.
Yeah, well, I'm a local Sandpoint mom, and I think I actually saw a flyer for the job at Winter Ridge 1 year. And then my youngest was, I think he was like maybe a little too young for me to apply for that year, but I kind of like logged it in my head and then went through the whole year. And then the next year I saw it posted again and my kids were all a little older. And I thought, hey, I called, Emily from Red Wheelbarrow, who's a good friend, and kind of picked her brain about the job and what it entails. And then I felt like it was a good fit for me. So showed up at the interview with all the board members. And it's been a really wonderful experience. I've loved it so far.
Do you have a background in organic, in agriculture or?
No background in agriculture. I mean, I've shopped at the market since I've lived here. I have close connections with a lot of the farmers, especially already. I've known Simon from Roniger's Organic since kindergarten.
Oh my gosh. Kinda,
you know, and I don't have agriculture background, but I am a very community minded person and wanted to be involved in something.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah.
And to you, Christina, introduce yourself again. And you're not just the president of the board. You are a market vendor.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm a farm vendor. So I grow my own herbs and botanicals, most of which are used in my own lotions and creams under my business, Untamed Alchemy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And how long have you been board president?
This is the end of coming up on the end of the first year. I've been on the board for a number of years, was vice president before, but this is the end of the first chaotic year officially as board president.
And is the Farmers Market a nonprofit?
We are a nonprofit, though we are not formally a 501c3. Okay. So it's actually something we have in our sights as part of our like broader plan of it could be a great idea to elevate the organization so that it can be supported in other ways and strengthened in other ways.
Right, right. Available grant money and things available.
Grant money, also, you know, write-offs for many of the folks either supporting or involved. It's great. So it's something we're exploring.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Well, so great having you gals in. And I know you started the market May 3rd and October 18th. And that's 6 months of work and togetherness. And I know that if you go down to the market when it's going on downtown, you can tell how popular it is with the community. But I was wondering, how popular is it with the vendors? For example, how many vendors are there?
Well, we kind of did our latest count and came up with 75 active vendor members at this time. And, you know, some of those vendors are there every weekend and some just come once or twice a season. So it's, you know, it really varies. And out of those, I think we had 27 farm vendors. Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly it's popular in the sense that a lot of people want to be vendors and we have pretty high standards. It's not easy to get in.
I know. It's kind of a juried
It's a rigorous process to move through approval to being approved as a member and a vendor. There's no joke. It's no joke.
There isn't one slacker in that whole market. It's like everybody just comes in with full guns and they're bringing everything.
Yeah, they're bringing their best.
Yes, they are.
That's something that was set up a long time ago by the folks who began it. That's one of the reasons why I think it's been anchored in having owners of the farms and the businesses present. It's a real first person passion that you're seeing, and questions get answered by the individual who's got skin in the game, and it makes a difference for the experience of what you're exposed to as you're shopping and enjoying the market.
And it seems to me that it is really only local vendors. Is there some requirement that you need to live or be somewhere within the region? Because it doesn't seem like we've got people from out of the area ever.
That's correct. There's a 100-mile radius from Farm and Park. Ah. So if you did a little radar circle, if your blip wouldn't show up in the circle, you're typically not coming to market. That's to qualify as a farm, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of thought everything through and know how to make a good market, because it is a fantastic market. So annually in the U.S., there are over 8,000 farmers markets that generate $10 billion.
Wow.
How did your market do this year?
Well, it's not that. I can tell you that much. I am very excited to tell you that I do know the scrutiny for our year doesn't really typically come until the end of the season. We watch, of course, throughout. So I know that our numbers are ahead this year of where we were last year. We made some adjustments to daily passes and season passes that allowed for, it can be a lot of work to just get a vendor to set up twice in a year because of all the admin that happens in the background. So we kind of evened out where the money came from and where we were charging. And that seems to have really lined up nicely.
Oh, good.
So yeah, we're happy about that.
So there's broadly different types of vendors there.
Yeah, so there's different booth sizes. There's different, you know, you could, a Wednesday pass is different from a Saturday pass. Mm-hmm. Doing a season pass is different from the daily pass. So there's lots of different ways we've tried to make it accessible for everyone, but also fair to, you know, representative of the amount of work that goes into managing the market and managing every person who shows up, whether it's once a year or, you know, every Saturday all season.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. What do you think the effect on the broader economy is as far as what the market brings to the Sandpoint area?
You know, I wish I could answer that more concretely. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to connect with Kelly, who was our market manager for a number of years. And honestly, shout out to Kelly for continuing to meet with me and not run away when she sees me on the street, because I'm still asking her questions about things that she knows that that I haven't mastered. But she reminded me that there was an impact study that was done a few years back that really kind of outlined in plain language the difference that the market makes for Sandpoint. So I think that's something we'd like to do again. I think it's time. You know, I think from what I understand, I think that may have just predated COVID. Given all the changes that have happened in the last 4 or 5 years, I think, especially with Olivia now on board, it makes sense to think about, you know, what is it that, you know, what's our worth to the community? I could go on and on about the intangibles all day.
Sure.
But it would be nice to have the numbers to show it. So in hard numbers, I don't know the answer, but I think it might be time to, you know, revisit it and get the answer again.
Definitely. It helps you, it helps guide you forward.
Yeah. And I also think it helps to strengthen the fact that we have something really important that is worth not only protecting, but also kind of, you know, I think it can grow with Sandpoint. And I think it's important that we think about how we can do that in the spirit of the 37 years we've already been bringing what we've been bringing. And when I say we, clearly that's way in before my time. So I'm very much, you know, calling the names of the farmers market ancestors who helped to put this thing in place.
Kept it in place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they mostly tourists or locals? Who comes in? Is it a mix?
I think it's a mix.
It is a mix. It's both. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You have your regulars.
Yeah. Definitely both. I mean, there's certain months of the year where it's a lot of tourists, and then at other times it's the same locals. You see them every week, which is really nice.
SNAP and DUFB programs are listed on your website. How did those do this year?
Well, so I would, again, that's another number I'd love to be able to report, but this one for a very different reason. So at the beginning of the year, at the earliest point of the year, as we re-engaged with SNAP, we learned that there were apparently some flags to our account where numbers that were reported weren't a total match. And it turns out we've discovered what it was, but it's taken the better part of this year to figure out where we went sideways. And unfortunately, once it went sideways, we lost access to SNAP for this season, mm-hmm. and we've been in a struggle to get it back. So the good news is I think we finally understood what it was, what the pitfall was before. So now that we know that, it's a little bit more defensible to go back with a new application. So I have the draft of that application is ready for all the people I need to see it before I, you know, light all the candles and send it on its way and hope that we can get it in place, because the idea is that we'd like to have it set up for this fall. We may not have it before the last market, but if we can be set up with our system in place, we're ready to roll for next year, and we won't miss a day, because it's been every day we don't have it is not a great day for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you do some when it was available to folks, SNAP had some advantages at the farmer's market, yes?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's it. So the DUFB stands for Double Up Food Bucks. Mm. We have had great partnerships with other Idaho organizations that have helped to sponsor us that have meant that SNAP dollars go twice as far with the Double Up Food Buck stuff. So it's it's not only a tremendous support for community members who need it to empower them to get fresh, locally grown food, but their money also goes twice as far. And it's, like I said, it's a heartbreak that we haven't been able to make it happen this season.
Yeah. And open the market to everyone, the entire community.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Special events are also a big part of the market. We were down at the children's market, and that was so much fun. Tell us about that kids market and how many kids you had and what you thought of it.
Well, that was one of my favorite days of the season. I was a little nervous, you know, having it be my first year, and wasn't sure what to expect, but I had a few really fantastic parent volunteers who stepped up, who had been doing it for a long time. And we had 36 applicants, and I think maybe one or two dropped off just because illness or, you know, couldn't make it. So it was around 30 to 35 child vendors at the market, and they, you know, set up by the fountain. The weather was great. They were all just beaming and proud of their beautiful, quirky things that they had. And
quirky,
you know,
is the word.
I didn't see any meltdowns in my purview. It all seemed like they all lasted till 1 p.m. too. So it was great. It was a super fun day.
Yeah. Give us an example of some of the quirky items. What happened there?
Well, I mean, I found a treasure that I couldn't help but purchase. It was a little crocheted hamster with a baby hamster.
I love it.
She called me. And every time I see it, just makes me smile. It's just this little tube crocheted hamster with a tiny one right next to us, a baby. And I don't know. There was all kinds of handmade things. There was somebody who made these like origami bookmarks that you attach on the top of your page, and they were like funny monster faces, and
an author, the little girl, gal, I shouldn't say little, she was probably 10, 11, 12 maybe, who wrote a book.
Yep.
Wow. And published it.
Wow.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was like a fantasy book.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah, very fun.
Well, did any of those kids grow veggies? Or
yeah, that was one I was thinking of. I think a few of them had, you know, partly grown things and partly made, but one child had all things he had grown, and he was like a pro. He reminded me so much of the adult part of it. He was just like, I'm going under this tree. I need the shade. He just knew what he was doing and had it all laid out. And yeah, it was sweet.
It was great. It was a good, good, fun market. Seeing those kids and just opening it up to them, and, mm-hmm. and they felt completely involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about musician sponsorship. Did you do that this year as well? And every market has music?
Yes, every market. We have not missed a market with music, which I'm really proud of
yes,
this year.
Yes, you should be.
And we kind of came up with a new music sponsorship program because it is our biggest expense. And I mean, frankly, in my ideal world, we do pay them. It'd be nice if we could pay them more.
Yeah.
They bring so much, and it's a really important piece of it. So we have a new sponsorship program. It's just this year. So I've been working hard to get the word out, and I've had quite a few like sort of nibbles, but nobody's jumped on it yet. But I'm hoping that for next season, you can sponsor a week of music or a month of music, and it's literally just the cost of what we pay the musicians. And, you know, you get your business, well, you get a shout out at the market, a little sign, and then you're featured in our newsletter and our socials. And it's just a great way for you to get your name out and kind of connected to a place where everybody in our community comes and feels great. So, yeah.
Good. Great. Mm-hmm. That was always a fun idea, sponsoring music.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, let's move to the last market of the year. Coming up is the Harvest Fest, October 18th. Give us all the details.
Yeah, so it's an extended market, so it'll go from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The library is going to be there. I don't know exactly what they have planned, but I do know they asked for quite a significant amount of space, so it's going to be something great.
Ooh,
I think
stand
maybe
by.
Some sort of fall games or, you know, for kids, but also, yeah, something like that. We have the musicians are Boca, which is Ben Olson and his partner playing, and they came already this year and just were really fun and great, so I thought they'd be a good fit. Yeah, I think the vendors bring all the goodness they have, and there's bulk deals, and maybe, Christina, you can touch on that a little.
Well, I mean, I know many of the farmers bring a number of, like, storage items, so, like, you know, larger bags of things that are designed to be stored for the off-season. Certainly the last of what's coming from folks' fields, because for many people, it's the end of their planned season of delivery. You know, there are, while we have a number of farmers who do offer winter CSAs, most folks are planning around their market season being their primary sales season. So you'll see a lot of the best of the best. We're already starting to see the cutest of the little pumpkins and pumpkins come. I know, the landscape of the market's changing because, like, the corn man has retired, but we do have folks that are bringing, you know, seasonal corn. So it as you walk around the market, it's hard to not already tell now that it's fall. You can bet that for Oktoberfest, it's going to be a lot of, you know, all of the right colors, all of the best of the fresh fruit and veg late season, all the good squashes, all the stored cured squashes. I mean, yeah, all the good stuff. Everybody brings their best.
And is the food bank typically,
so for the last market, we usually invite folks to bring items that can be donated so that they can then in turn win a curated basket that most of, like, our vendors will contribute items to. And then one of the individuals who has donated will win that as a prize. So I don't remember the contest details from the past, but I know we create this enormous pile of things that requires two people to carry it to get to a vehicle by the time it's all done in the name of being able to raise some things and donate stuff to the food bank as well.
Donate, now this is canned goods, or can they buy produce from people and put that in for the food bank? Are they?
You know, I believe in the past it's mostly been canned foods, but I also know that the food bank regularly comes and visits with the local farmers at the end of each market to collect if they have anything available to donate. I mean, it's kind of a very organic community relationship if they just check in to see if there's anything that they can take, and they do. So I can't imagine that day would be any different. I'm sure they'd like to have as much as they possibly can to support the community.
Mm-hmm. Great. I've heard this summer they've had a lot of produce from all the gardens. The food bank has.
That's
from
great.
All the gardens in town, the community garden and the church gardens and everybody.
I love to hear it.
Yeah. Yes, they really organized that this year and had a great response.
That's awesome.
Now, you said some gardeners or some farmers are CSI?
CSA. Some of them do community supported agriculture.
Yes.
So they do, a number of them will do, like, boxes through the winter. So you sign up and they'll put together a box that has, you know, a certain agreed upon array of different things that can be grown through the season. So you'll move away from the more delicate greens into things like kale. And it's a delicious way to keep getting your hands on some of the market fresh stuff. And I think more and more of the farmers are doing it. It's a great way to stay. Those same faces that are waiting in line on a Saturday morning to get the freshest are the ones who will come, you know, pick up their biweekly or monthly boxes or whatever. So it's a great way to stay connected.
The market doesn't do anything in the winter, though, in the off season.
Well, we've done some stuff in the past, and we are. I mean, I'll let Olivia speak to this because this is very much her doing.
Olivia?
Yeah, well, I kind of just had an ambition to keep some sort of market going on in the winter, and I met with a library, Kara, who does the library community garden, and we sort of, you know, put our minds together. How could we collaborate? And so we're in talks of doing an indoor winter market at the library, a once a month thing. And it's not totally set in stone, but it's looking pretty good.
Looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So soon we'll be announcing, you know, the dates for that and give it a go.
Yeah, it's going to be different. Out the details. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I think there's heart for it on all sides.
I think so too.
I think the vendors would love to have another way to remain connected. The library is eager to work with us for it. And I think the community would really love to be able to, even if it were just once a month, be able to connect with some of their favorites and, you know, purchase boxes. Who knows? Maybe we could do our own like market CSA of all of our farmers put together stuff and you get a box from many farmers instead of just one. I don't know. We're going to see what's possible.
Wow. Yeah. I'm very excited about that because the market is so popular and then it's done.
Yeah.
It's over. And the long, dark winter.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be great.
Do you envision it having any kinds of veggies, any foods, or would it be mostly crafts and other things?
We hope there could be, for those folks who have it available to sell, my emphasis always, so I'm a farm vendor, so I am a grower, but I'm not growing edibles. I mean, I have herbs that are teas and things that don't come to market for sale that are part of the other angle of my business. But for me, it's so important to keep this community connected to the food and to the farmers. So they're sort of first. So I don't think we can have the hot food, prepared food, just given the space. Mm-hmm. But as much as we can accommodate the farmers and anything they're willing to bring, that would be my first pull in the door. And then my hope would be the fine arts and crafts folks, too.
Yeah. And the farmers, you know, they are on board. They're excited. A few of them have said, we'll give it a go this year. And then next spring, if we know we're going to keep doing the winter market, they'll plant more.
With that in mind.
Have it in mind. So it might be a little sparse, you know, who knows this year, but it's a building year for us. It's a trial year. I'm sure there'll be some kinks and things to work out. But I think there's a lot of potential there.
I think so too. Excellent idea.
Yeah.
Good job, Olivia.
Yeah.
Keep it going. Okay. Finally, I'd like you both to share your favorite moments of the market this last summer. Christina, you're already getting teary-eyed.
Yeah, so I have already cried about this once today. It's really two linked moments because one of them is from the night before and then what happened at the market was kind of an echo of it. So last Saturday at the end of the day, I was breaking down my booth and I'm often the last person out of the park. So I had a bunch of farmers and farmers' kids running around, and there were folks, you know, hugging, and their arms were loaded with the most beautiful vegetables, and all different, like, people who were not parents were watching children that were, you know, not their children, and it was just, it was the kind of, like, dynamic community moment of people enjoying a green space, being safe with one another, the kids being, you know, just, like, light of heart, these gorgeous foods in their arms. I knew the names of most of the people that had grown them. And this was an afternoon after the night before, as I was saying the equivalent of grace at dinner, I literally named all the farmers I knew the name of every single person who had raised something on my plate. Mm-hmm. And it was a really profound thing to not only have the personal connection, but then to see that it was so beautiful in real time in the market. If these folks got up super early, busted their butts, loaded their trucks, and when it was over, they and their children were catching their breath, relaxing, and enjoying the first fall afternoon, took my breath away.
Nice.
Yeah.
Olivia?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a tough question. I feel like almost every market, I kind of see little glimpses of just such joy, and, you know, people have a lot of fun. I think it's more than just kind of socializing and, you know, enjoying the arts and being outside, which is also beautiful, but also to see people kind of putting their money where their mouth is and, you know, spending their hard-earned dollars towards these, you know, giving their hard-earned dollars to these really hardworking people who are so passionate and so good at what they do. And I think that's a really beautiful thing to see. But one moment that came to mind when I was thinking about this was, I think it was kind of like midsummer, and it was just a pretty, just kind of average. It was a Wednesday market, and, you know, beautiful day. There's people around, the music's going. And I saw a police officer kind of over by the parking spots, and I was like, oh boy, gosh, I hope everyone's parked legally. Like, oh, here's the police, you know, they're always kind of like, I hope we've checked all the boxes. And I walked around, and I looked back over on the stage, and there's the police officer at the keyboard making a guest appearance, singing with the musicians, you know, just singing the chorus up there. And it just made me smile, and I thought, you know, only here would that happen, like only in Sandpoint, only at this this market. And it was just such a funny thing to see. And yeah, I loved that moment. The police officer making a guest appearance on stage.
That community connection to each other, to your farmers, to your food, that is really what it's all about. And that's what 37 years has built for this town. I really think the market is one of the most special ones around, although they all are wonderful. And so glad they came back into popularity after falling off for so long.
Yeah.
But that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You guys have really made a difference in your lives. Mm-hmm. Christina, tell us what's coming up for Untamed Alchemy, your business.
Yeah, well, I mean, inevitably I'm focused on showing up at the market. But I'm, you know, working with my garden and being at the market up through Harvest Fest. And then a certain amount of my focus is going to go to due diligence for the season that was on, you know, on behalf of the board and governance, and really getting set up for next year. We have a fall membership meeting that's going to be really important for our members and for our community alike, because we've got some opportunities to improve some things that could also yield changes for existing vendors and new vendors, all of which we think will be improvements for all of our stakeholders, especially them. And I've also got a couple things going on in talks with the library to offer some workshops. And anytime I can find a weekend to make somebody fall in love with a plant, I'm here for it. But but the market, I will admit, is kind of my focus for certainly the early part of autumn after we wrap up the live market season. I'm here to help Olivia get set up for a crackin' 2026.
Awesome. So that meeting, is it open to the public or just your vendors and your board members? And
well, I believe all of our meetings are technically open to everyone. Oh, the membership meeting, in terms of voting, the only folks who can vote are the members, and it's our opportunity to kind of discuss what the year that's been was like, let folks know where we stand, and also set our agenda for the winter of what we're going to be focused on, which is where we have some opportunities to change a couple of deadlines and dates, make things a little easier for folks to navigate, make the process more straightforward, more simple, and also keep it excellent.
Mm-hmm. A busy winter of work, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff, though.
Okay, let's repeat the Harvest Fest details one last time so everyone can get it on their calendar now that they know.
Yeah, so it's October 18th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we're going to have great music, the library there with some special activities, and our vendors bring in the best that they have. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we've got four more Saturdays, and I think also four more Wednesday markets. Four or three.
We're recording this, so this will play on October 6th. So
okay. I think there's four remaining. So
Four remaining.
Four remaining for broadcast.
Four total. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Gotcha. Okay.
And tell us about the newsletter.
Yeah. So another thing we've got going for this season has been a monthly newsletter, and I do a newsletter for our members and a newsletter for the community, and we try to include kind of what's in season, upcoming events, the music, and it'll be really helpful if, you know, for community members to have info about maybe different scheduling time frame that we have for this winter. Because in the past, it's been, you know, we've got a really heavy month in March. You know, we just hit it hard a little later in the season, and our goal for this year is to spread it out so we can give a lot of thought and time and attention, and have people hopefully apply earlier and be juried earlier and have all our ducks in a row.
Yes, earlier. Make it easier on you. Yeah. And how do you sign up for that newsletter?
It's just on our website.
Yeah. I believe at the bottom of the homepage for the website, sandpointfarmersmarket.com, there is a subscribe. And the newsletters are great because they provide, I mean, Olivia's always kind of giving everybody the what's what of what's happening at the market. But it's also, as we continue to think about ways that we can offer more and, you know, become more involved and engaged with our community and our stakeholders, more and more is kind of emerging, and I think it's a great way to hear what's happening at the market, what we can look forward to, and also some of what we're thinking in terms of what's coming next for the market.
And maybe your library winter market will be on there too, and absolutely. Remind people that that's coming up.
Yep. Absolutely.
Or what's coming up, I guess.
Yeah.
Great.
What to look forward to.
What? Have we come to the end, Julie? I can't believe it.
I don't know. I mean, you've had just a great selection of questions for these guys, and we've learned a lot. I just had, this is coming a little late in the interview, but I just wondered if either of you had a favorite, any new favorite product or vegetable or something like that that happened this year that would hopefully, of course, come back next year. Were there any like really, really interesting new things that wowed you?
Well, also, I can say this immediately. So I have the joy of some of us get tied to our booths, so we don't always get to shop the people that are farther away. But I had the joy of going home with a Romanesco from Bobcat Farm. And if you're not familiar with it, it looks like a fractal pattern baby between like broccoli and cauliflower. They're gorgeous. And I had absolutely, I mean, I know how to cook. I had no idea what to do with this thing. And we looked at it. My gosh, I'm in love with Romanesco. So
Romanesco
can highly recommend the Romanesco that I got from Bobcat Farm. And then I am also stupid about cucumbers. I think I have purchased a cucumber from every farmer that comes to the market just to hide my addiction to the cucumbers at the market. They are the freshest, most wonderful. So those are my two.
Excellent. Those both sound great. I'll look for those next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. There's so many treasures that are to be found at that market. That we just last week we had somebody there selling Asian pears that were so good. I think I ate like four of them in one set. I just could not stop. I mean, the produce it's really unbeatable.
Yeah.
I think the oil, the herbal products are just beyond anything you could ever find online, or I've my whole product regimen is now all markets. So everything.
Yep. Yes. You can't go back.
You can't go back. You can't go back. Yeah. Yeah. I think if you haven't had one of our breakfast burritos that are now at the market, all with local farmed meats and eggs, you got to get one of those. And what else? I don't know. I bought a kind of, I had to have it. It was a coffee pour over made by a local potter. And every morning I put it on my little also pottery made cup. And it just brings such a smile to my face. And I don't know. I just love, I love all the little things that you can find. It's just, you could go on and on.
Yeah,
you
truly.
You could go on and on.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I can never make enough at the market to shop enough at the market. That's my biggest problem, truly. There's too many beautiful things. There's something new every weekend, too. That's the other thing is, it's dynamic and reflective of who's there and what they bring. And so every weekend is a slightly different experience between the music and the vendors and the weather. It's a beautiful moment in time.
Mm-hmm. People are endlessly creative.
Yeah.
You go down there and you see, what, 72 vendors? Inspiring. That is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm amazed by the farmer's market too. And I always think it's a great place for a kid to see food.
Yes.
That doesn't come in a plastic wrapper and, get to see the people who actually grew it and maybe touch it or, just run around and find your food that way instead of going into some store.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Huge variety of food to look at too. All a little bit different and homegrown.
So. Yeah. And inevitably almost all seasonal unless it's been preserved. I mean, you're looking at something that came, you know, from harvested at its peak, traveled a very short distance to become something delicious on your plate for your family. It's kind of outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we talked about this before we began the interview, but I really am leaning toward believing it more and more. I don't know if it's true for you, Julie, because you're pretty, savvy. Yeah. About your gardening. I'm not so much so. I don't know that you could really, when you add up everything you spend on your little home garden, I'm not sure that it's not a better deal to just go to the farmer's market. Now, of course, if you love gardening, you're going to be a gardener. But if you're in it just for the food production, my bet is on go to the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. I think you could have a really good diet living on what the farmer's market.
I do. Yes. No, I mean, really, I can tell you. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm the first one. I know how to grow some things, but I have not been able to grow the produce that our farmers do, and so I immediately turn my beds into something else and I shop the market, because what's the point? I can't do it that well.
Yeah, and how are you going to grow the variety that you'll find at the farmer's market? It takes a big garden to be able to cover,
and the knowledge of what it all is.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's so. One of the beautiful things too about our market is so many of the farmers who are so passionate, they are because they're not, they're self-directed. They're choosing varieties that reflect, you know, traits that they want that are good for our area. And so it's easy to get heirloom varieties, or it's easier to get heirloom varieties that have been organically grown, even if they haven't been formally certified organic. They may have been grown without the use of harmful pesticides. And there's a relationship there between someone saying, I like this and I want this seed to grow and I'm going to learn how to get good at that. I think it's a special thing. And I think you can taste it.
Mm-hmm. I think definitely. You can too. And the short distance, that's something that makes a big difference in produce. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just can't say enough great things about our market. I love it. So
I do too.
Just appreciate the work that you ladies do to make sure that it gets rolling every year.
That's awesome. Claps to Olivia.
Claps to Olivia. I have a lot of support from Christina and Lavoie, for sure.
Well, thank you, Olivia Gonzalez, Market Manager, and Christina Bauer, Board President, for sharing your love and passion for Sandpoint's own farmer's market. I feel so fortunate to live in the same community both you gals do.
Oh, thank you
so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us, ladies.
Yeah. Thank you.